Hey guys, Stephen here. Hope you're going well on this beautiful morning. Still down in Wellington. And one of the cool things being down here that I got to do is an actual interview with the guys from Empire Media Group. Now these guys run a lot of Facebook pages. They have a massive, massive following across New Zealand, which is pretty cool for them and cool for me that they wanted to have a chat. And it was a really interesting conversation. We touched on a lot of the simple stuff because I know there's a lot of people coming to our channel that are either newly diagnosed or are ready to find out more. And so it's quite a good interview on some of the overriding stuff, a bit about my story, a bit about what we think, the questions people are asking was quite good. Nick had a few really good insights as well. And it was my first proper interview where I was interviewed. So I hope you like it. We're going to start to try and do a bit more promotion in the sense of wanting to get this out to more people and start to build a real strong brand around this to see if we can help more people. So if you want to, just we'll keep listening. That's how easy it is. You don't have to do anything. You can just listen on and play this episode. Hope you really enjoy it. It's a really nice, easy one to share because it covers off a lot of stuff. So hope you enjoy it, and I'll be back tomorrow. Yeah, it is a very good song. I do agree. Awesome. So I guess where I think I might start is I'll tell you a little bit about my journey and how I found out about it. So I was very lucky. I was diagnosed at 10 as a child at school. I lived over in the Middle East. And I was quite lucky that we were in a private school. If I hadn't been in private school, they wouldn't have even noticed it. They would have just said, that kid's stupid, and put me in a special class. But luckily I had a teacher that recognized I wasn't stupid. I just couldn't get my thoughts onto paper. And so I went through the testing, and I always remember my mother talking to me and saying, the moment you got diagnosed, you said something to me, and you said, I'm not stupid. And she remembers that to this day because it was so powerful, a child going, oh, that's why I am like I am. And, you know, from that moment on, I at least understood a bit about who I was. Now, I went through school, I had reader-writers where I could speak a test as opposed to write a test, and that allowed me to get through school, which was pretty awesome. But like many dyslexics, we kind of think that once you're through school, it just doesn't matter anymore. It's done. Dyslexia is a school problem. And you usually think you've kind of solved the challenge until then. And what I found for myself is I did too. Like I went on with my life. I kept having these ebbs and flows, and you'll find that with dyslexics. We have great days and then we have days which don't exist. We just want to hide under the covers and watch Netflix. Netflix is a great invention for that. But it's really caused a lot of challenges in a lot of our lives. It wasn't until about 2 years ago, not even that long really, my dad had been watching me hunt for things. So I've been looking at motivational videos. I tried tapping. I tried, you know, if it existed, I'd tried it. But I hadn't found what I was looking for. I was just kind of going around in circles. So you'd find things that worked for a little while, and then it just wouldn't be a long-term fix. And he said to me, he goes, could it be something to do with dyslexia? And I was like, no, that's reading and writing. That's all it is. Don't be silly. I know everything. Us dyslexics think we know everything, and it's very hard to get through our... We've got very thick skulls, usually. And it kind of broke down, and I finally, after five times, I said, okay, sure, Dad, you know, I'll pretend to listen to you. And I contacted a specialist he had recommended. And then I continued to ignore her repeatedly. Well, text message after text message, just trying to get me to go on for a free appointment. I was just like, no, no, thank you. It was scary because, like, you know, if for someone to say, actually, what you've believed all your life may be slightly wrong is freaking scary. And so I went through and I finally saw her. And it was like that one meeting changed my life. It went click. Wow, that is why I do things the way I do. It's why I think in a certain way. And I think, Nick, I told you this story that I was sitting in this room and she wanted to try and explain how our brains work differently. And it wasn't about reading or writing. And she was having some building work done on her house, on her deck. If you're outside of New Zealand, D-E-C-K, definitely not something else she was having work on. But what had happened is I heard someone hammering. And she could see that I'd kind of left the conversation. I was my eyes went and I was thinking about something else. And she asked me, where did you go? And I said, oh, I could actually see the guy building your deck. I could see it in my mind. I could really visualize it so, so clearly. And she goes, oh, wow, that's amazing. You've never seen my deck, but you can visualize it. And I was like, yeah, of course I can. I've seen decks before. And she goes, but you've never seen mine. So how do you know what it looks like? And I'm like, I don't know. I just kind of thought of other ones I'd seen in the past and thought, it must look kind of like that. And she goes, but how do you not know that it's covered in yellow rubber ducks? How do you not know that's what it is? Because it could be. And I said, oh, okay, sure. And like, I was a bit nervous. I don't know what to say to that because it was something I never thought of. But what she was trying to get at is that was just one really, really small example. And from that one little example, can you imagine how many times I've done that for bigger problems where I've imagined something that I thought was real, but it wasn't? And what kind of happens with this is you build up this identity that you're not always certain about. And when you don't have a certain identity, you end up mirroring people more. You end up trying to please others more sometimes than yourself. You become very transactional because things in your life aren't always real. And you get caught out. You make a lot more mistakes. You get very good at, even if you make a mistake, pretending it wasn't your mistake. There's a lot of blame in our lives. Even if it's internally, not externally, you're blaming yourself, you're blaming someone else. And so dyslexia just affects so many people like this, and they just don't understand it. And it's why I started the podcast to kind of go through my journey and kind of show people what it could be like.
And you were saying yesterday that the actual percentage of people that are expected to be dyslexic is actually really high.
Yeah, well Yale University in the States have come out with a figure around 20%. It's one of those, it's just massive, absolutely massive. So, one in five people might have dyslexia around you. The challenge with it is it's really hard for them to get specific figures because so many people were not diagnosed. And that's why it was so lowly rated in the past.
The question, I think something we should probably touch on early on is what exactly is dyslexia? Because it's not just, it's not black and white and it's not just one thing. It's sort of, it can be a few different things.
That's a great question. And I think dyslexia, the simplest, I try and put this in a simple format. You can find it online in much more complexity, but in simple terms, it's the way your brain processes things. You know, a non-dyslexic has uses, I believe it's the right side of your brain, which is much more, oh no, sorry, the left side of your brain. See, you get things backwards if you're dyslexic. It's the left side of your brain, which is symbol driven. So symbols are like letters, words, very, very driven by that type of thinking. When you're dyslexic, and there is a range, there's a spectrum, you're thinking with pictures, you're visually thinking. So your mind is very, very quick because pictures are faster than symbolic words to decipher, but it does cause people to struggle in this world because it's a world built by kind of left-brain thinkers.
I mean, it's interesting because on Stephen's website, you can actually take it, we'll link that as well, but you can actually take a test to see, you know, after a few, I think it's 12 questions, personality trait questions to say, okay, well, you know, maybe these are things to consider to work out where you're at. And I actually scored quite highly. I was one point off being the top level of what is considered to be dyslexic. And because we were talking about this at the bar yesterday when we were out having a couple of beers, and so many of the thought processes that I have, I just assume is the way that I am. And I was giving Stephen an example how when I was at high school and I'd be in my physics class and the teacher would put a problem on the board to be solved by the end of the day, and I'd just be like, 47, like I knew what the answer was. And it wasn't necessarily that I was incredibly smart, it was just that those were the sorts of things I could do in my head. And then I think the thing that's changed over the years is because I haven't exercised that part of my thinking, or like my brain to, because the brain's a muscle, you need to exercise it. And if you don't do a lot of complicated math like you do at school, you tend to lose your nous for it, I think. But then also in 2001, I had a very significant head injury. I definitely am not as sharp as I used to be. But I think I started with a pretty good base, so I'm okay. But I think, yeah, there's definitely been I look at all these things as a bigger picture and I just think, well, I think the way that I do and I see things the way that I do, and that's just, to me, is very normal, and I didn't ever consider it to be dyslexia or anything like that. I just thought that was how it is.
And I think a lot of people do. Like, we're doing a lot of work at the moment looking at how everything fits together, because dyslexia, ADHD, all these things are kind of different flavors of an ice cream. And you can have ice cream with multiple flavors. It's not just a one size fits all. Like, I've got a lot of friends who may not realize they're dyslexic, even if I can see it. And the reason is that we're all so different. And the thing with a dyslexic, kind of mindset is we're problem solvers. We're the guys in relationships that, instead of listening to our partners, we'll try and solve their problem. Which is
You just hit
probably
me
I
right in
think
the
I had a feeling you'd, I
feels.
had a feeling that would connect with you, Nick. But we're always looking for those solutions, and we can't get it when the other person doesn't click. We are solution driven people. What we call them, and when we're teaching people about dyslexia, is it's called an old solution. It's a solution you created before you understood dyslexia, and it's not always a healthy solution, but it's a solution that's kept you safe and going this long. And if you really look back, you're like, actually, that's probably not the best thing I could be doing. It's like advice. But if you can start to realize who you are, it just gives you a bit of an angle to, a bit of a way to do it. It's kind of like if you were driving a petrol car but putting diesel in it all the time, or something like that. It's like it can hurt your car, even if for some reason your car still ran. It's a terrible example as I actually say it, because it probably wouldn't run at
It's
all.
not great, but I think I'm
It's
picking up what you're
98,
doing.
98, 91, something like that with cars. Well, just like it's that kind of, you're running on the wrong fuel. But once you know what fuel to put in, the car's going to run well. And that's really what dyslexia is about, understanding. Is there anything else that's come to your mind, Nick? You probably, the thing, what I found when I started talking about dyslexia and realizing it, you start, it kind of goes through who you are and starts filling in the gaps, and you start thinking about old stories in your head about your own life and going, was that dyslexia, or do you know what I mean?
I mean, one of the big things we talked about yesterday was relationships, and I've generally found, I mean, I've had a couple of significant relationships, and I've always found that I've had people attracted to me that are quote unquote broken. Now, there's nothing wrong with being broken, but people are at various stages of broken throughout their lives due to, exterior influences or for whatever reason, I mean, it's okay to not be okay, but I tend to have people that are not okay attracted to me, and I don't know why. I think maybe if it's the fixer in me, or if I appear to be a stronger person for someone to, like a life vest or something like that. But I've actually found that traditionally in these relationships, it's been a case where someone will come to me that needs fixing, and then because my nature will be like, okay, so there's something wrong, well, let's make it better so that you're better and you're happy and whatever, and then you fix them and they bugger off. So it's not been a great track record.
And what you find sometimes is with the dyslexic mindset, you do find you becoming quite transactional in life. I'll do this for this in return. And a lot of us are like that. We just don't kind of always understand unconditional love, oddly enough, is the way I would put it, is we struggle to be completely unconditional. And you'll find some people in your life, some friends that fit that mold. But from a relationship standpoint, it can be very much, if I do this, I expect love back. And that's not unconditional love, because you're doing something in hope of something back. But that's how our minds work in business, in a lot of places. So you can sometimes put that out, I think, to the world. You can kind of show that side of you. And when you're fixing someone, there is a great feeling from that. It's you fix them, you feel great. It's a transaction in a good way.
Well, I personally find a inherent happiness in helping anyone do anything, how no matter how big or small it is. I mean, it could be anything from holding the door or, I mean, I'm just thinking of the last couple of days of just like bits and pieces where, you help someone with a baby or, like at the airport, there's a woman with a baby with a front pack, so I grabbed her bags for her. I didn't think that I needed anything out of it. I just felt good that I helped that person's day and made it a bit easier or whatever.
Well, it gives you a good feeling, and that's a transaction, in the way I see it at least. And it's, we do things like that because it makes us feel good. It's that, and that's, that's drugs, it's alcohol. For different people have different flavors. And the problem with that sometimes, I think, and I'm still working through this, like, I don't think any human is finished. I'm by no means close in the process, but it's what I'm learning more and more is you've just got to be happy in every moment, whether you help that person with the bags or not. Does that make sense? Like, I know it probably doesn't make a lot of sense in words, but
I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, and the key word to me being transaction, and certainly within business, within the website and everything we do, then yes, if we're going to do something for someone or vice versa, then I expect it to be fair as a transaction. However, like helping someone with their bags, I don't see that as a transaction. I just think that it's nice to do nice things for people. Like, if you're in an opportunity to help someone, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't always think like that. That's the and you know this actually brings up another interesting topic. Is what I find is the average dyslexic usually has surrounded themselves with other dyslexic people. Like, we've kind of found that this weekend. It's like there's a heap of us around, and it's because we all kind of have a similar thought process around things. And what you'll find if you are dyslexic, or you realize 80% of your friends are, there's quite a potential you might be our type of flavor. Does that make sense? Because you know, you want to be around people that you connect with. It's like why you see couples with similar facial features, because it's just a natural connector. And the dyslexic mindset, I think, is it just brings those type of people together. So it could be a good indicator to you, like if all your friends are like really boring, maybe you're not dyslexic.
Maybe you're just boring.
Maybe you're just boring. No, there could be no hope.
But it was interesting talking about our social group, particularly for this week, while we're down here. And then we were talking about like the helping and that sort of thing. Because I'll do, if I see someone who's trying to do something like what we're doing or whatever, you know, I'll give them a shout on Instagram, maybe give them a link, whatever it is, right? But then in the same token, I also look for people like that for me, which is why Steve that we're down here staying with. I mean, like, I look at Steve as sometimes he's a big brother, sometimes he's a dad, sometimes he's a mentor, sometimes he's an asshole. But at the end of the day, it's there is that kind of semi-role model, but also, you know, like, I look at someone like Steve is someone I can learn a lot from. That is, I mean, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for Steve anyway. So, I mean, it's, and so I feel like there's like a progression. Like, I don't feel like I'm at the top. And I assume that Steve has someone like that for himself as well. Do you know what I mean? And I think that that's sort of, I don't know if that's sort of relative to what we're talking about, but it's just a thought process that I was having when we were talking about it the other day.
And that's a good point. Like, I think this is, you know, when you talk to people with this type of mindset, you have very deep conversations that can be layered. You know, we are spatial, the word I would use is spatial thinkers. So we think, we can see a lot of stuff in our heads. We can actually create worlds and create conversations with ourselves like that. We can see layers of people, and you can see things that are not black and white. And I think that is a real important part of that, is that you can be aware of that and see those layers and go quite deep into it. It can be your best feature or your worst enemy sometimes, because you can overthink things and you can create worlds in your head that don't exist and cause a lot of pain in your life. But when it's used in the correct way, it's awesome. Like, I kind of see it as, you know, I know it's a bit cliche, but dyslexia is a superpower. But I feel like a lot of people are walking around with kryptonite in their back pocket, and they just can't use their superpower because they don't either realize it's there or know how to use it, or know how to get out of their own way sometimes.
I mean, I think a couple of years ago, I mean, about 3 years ago, I was in a pretty dark place. Like, I just lost my dog, the house had burnt down, I'd moved to a new town, and things were about as bad as they could have got. And I forced myself to find something to make it better. And that was when I started going to the gym. And the other thing that coincided with that was healthy eating and a healthy mindset. And that in itself was a huge turning point for me, particularly the mindset thing when it comes to the power of positive thought, projection, learning about human energy and things like that. And I think that in itself has been a life changer for me.
That's an awesome way to use that, I guess, is what I'd say, is an awesome way to use that negativity in a positive way. And I see a lot of people bounce like that in a positive way. You can also go the other way. So that's why it is important to talk to someone if you get to that point. But that's brilliant that happened to you, because like, I've had the same experience. You go through huge changes in your life, and sometimes they don't go the right way. Sometimes they go the right way. But if you can use the energy correctly, and with the dyslexic mindset, is with visual thinkers, you know, if you've ever wanted to try visualization, you know, put time into it, it works. Like I taught myself with visualization how to yawn on cue. We were out. I was drinking last night with the boys, and I even managed to use visualization to stop me having the hiccups, which amazed me last night, because I'd never tried that before, and I couldn't hold my breath to stop them. And I was like, what if I tried a technique where I actually saw myself calm, not hiccuping, instantly it stopped, and I was taken aback. Because usually after a few drinks, I don't have quite that much control on my personal abilities. So that amazed me. Like so the power of your visual mind is where your strength just lies, man.
And the other thing that I think that I was quite interested in talking about was, a lot of you guys know that if you follow us on Instagram, you know that I've taken to photography lately. And some of the common feedback I get is particularly from other photographers, because before I put anything out online, I'll generally sort of share around a few select friends that are also photographers that I sort of look up to. And almost unanimously, they all come back and say that you've got a really unique eye. And I wonder if that's part of it, where I look at things differently to other people.
Well, you see a lot of dyslexics in the creative arts. You know, John Lennon, you know, Walt Disney were all dyslexics. Richard Branson. There is a lot of creatives. Like, probably half the musicians are probably dyslexic. You know, they say 40%+ of entrepreneurs are dyslexic. You know, we're the people that stand outside the box. So it's not, let's say, it's not an unobvious thing that you would have a good eye in photography with it, because it's a visual art. And if you can use your visual, if you can hone your visual brain into it, you're going to naturally excel.
Mm.
You know, if you decided to take up accounting instead, I'm not sure you'd have the same luck. But yeah, it's awesome. And honestly, just keep going with it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's an interesting sort of way to look at it, because I think when you take into account that you try and surround yourself with people like you, and that a lot of the people that are like us are sort of the creative types or the entrepreneurial types, I mean, with what we're doing now, I mean, we are making an entrepreneurial business out of something that is creative.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, to me, like, I mean, I love what I do. I absolutely love it. There's not a day I get up and I think, oh, I've got to do this again.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And then again, with surrounding yourself with like-minded, you know, everybody that's involved is highly creative, highly interesting, or highly skilled within the industry. So
that's a good point. Like, you've got to surround yourself with the right people. Because, you know, another thing, as I say, we won't go into everything about dyslexia. If you want to listen to it, you can find more in the podcast. But, you know, we naturally are not great at emotional regulation. So we do go up and down, and people talk a lot about energy. Dyslexics are very susceptible, if we're around bad energy, to pick it up. And like if you're around someone who's bringing you down, who's bringing themselves down, you will be brought down too.
100%.
We just can't regulate it. We just take on everything from the environment, and we don't know how to process it. So yeah, that's very common.
Well, what I would say to that is that, going back to the story a couple of years back where I started sort of starting to understand energy, I became very, very aware, and I literally could feel people's energy around me. And it got to the point where I was like, okay, you're a big ball of badness. I need to leave.
Mm.
Because you're right. Like, I think that I'm quite good at managing it, and I think that I'm quite good at giving good energy. But I think bad energy is one of those things that's actually quite hard to, like, I literally will leave if someone is in a bad mood. Yeah. If they could be sitting there quietly, not say a word, and you can just tell. You
just know they're...
And you can feel it. And I'm like, I need to leave.
Mm.
And I do that all the time.
And it kind of comes back a little bit to us, to, again, dyslexics have a huge amount of intuition. And you can intuit that. Again, it comes down to what words you use for it, but it's knowing, like, I'm the same. If I meet someone, whether they're good at what they do or not, I can tell if they've got good intentions. You know, have they actually got good intentions, even if they're on the outside having a few challenges, or are they just a bad person? And you can intuit that. But the other challenge can be is you can, because again, dyslexia is something that doesn't work as well in the left-minded world. They say that dyslexics are probably told up to 20,000 times, or around that figure, told they're wrong 20,000 times more than non-dyslexics, because we're trying to live this world. And if you can imagine psychologically, if you're told you're wrong that many times, it hurts you. It messes with your mind. It messes with the trust in your own intuition sometimes. So there are a lot of dyslexics I've found that struggle sometimes to balance the intuition because they don't trust themselves enough when they really should.
I 110% trust my intuition.
That's good.
Mm. Actually, quick question, that something you just touched on about left brain and right brain. Is there a simple way to find out which you are?
To be honest, this is funny you say that. We're working on a project at the moment because when it comes to like dyslexia, ADHD is kind of a right brain side, but there's nothing particular out there because they're all talking in different ways. So if you want to get diagnosed with ADHD, you've got to go somewhere different to a dyslexic educational diagnosis. Nothing, it's really terribly, the industry has been created by left brainers for right brainers and it doesn't make any sense. We are working on a project like that, and I'll make sure I come back and tell you when we're a bit closer.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's been great to have a chat. Great to go over this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always interesting to learn. I mean, I'm very interested in learning about myself and personal improvement, things of that nature. And to be honest, I very rarely look at it from a what's wrong point of view as opposed to how can I build. You know, like I never would, like, and I guess that goes back to what I was saying, where I don't think that there's anything quote unquote wrong with me or different about me. I just think that I am who I am, and I've very much accepted that since I was 15 years old that this is me, this is 110% me, and this is just how we do it. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm very, very comfortable with that. So I'm okay with it. And I've just never looked at it as me being dyslexic or something different or anything like that, other than just it being my norm.
You're right. And the thing is, I think there is a terrible belief in the world that dyslexia is wrong, and it's not. You know, I was chatting to someone recently, and they said there is a group of people that believe it's actually an evolution for humanity. Without people that are not, without, if everyone, if there was no dyslexics, we'd have no innovation. And dyslexics are the innovators, you know, the Elon Musks, all these guys doing things that seem absolutely nuts to the world. The majority of them sit in the dyslexic category. And the reason for that is their minds think beyond what already exists. So don't ever, if anyone is dyslexic, never think you're wrong, even if you've been told that they are wrong. You know, you're just different, and we're all different. We're all unique. You know, not all of us can be as handsome as Nick, and we're all Steve. We're all just so different. And don't ever, you know, my biggest goal in life is to, you know, is to help people who have dyslexia actually realize there is nothing wrong and there's a lot of stuff right with them.
Well, I think going on misconceptions, one of the misconceptions that I personally had was my uncle was diagnosed dyslexic. He grew up in Germany, and his thing was words backwards and letters backwards. And I just assumed that that's what dyslexia was. And it was only since talking to you that I realized that there's so much more to it.
Honestly, that, you know, the amount of people that go, but I can read and write. So my business partner in the truth about dyslexia, she's a specialist, and her best subject was English. You know, her best subject was English. You know, how she realized she was dyslexic is she was actually doing a course, because her son is, and she'd gone to this course, and they'd started talking about going out to lunch or to dinner at a Japanese restaurant. And so they were telling her where it was and everything. And in her brain, she heard Japanese restaurant, and she already started picturing what she was going to wear that night. She pictured how the event was going to go. She'd done all this picturing in her brain and was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. They thought she was in the room with them. She wasn't. And she'd gotten all ready. She arrived at the restaurant, sat down, and it took her about 15 minutes to realize she'd just gone to the wrong restaurant and she was sitting alone in the restaurant. But she was 1,000% sure that was a restaurant they were going to go to, but it wasn't. And that was because she had done this thing called disorientation, and she had broken out of reality and already built the whole story in her head.
And that was one thing that you touched on the other day that I questioned, particularly about myself, where I think that I'm a highly visual person in my mind. Like you say, you know, you think of, you've got something coming up and you picture exactly what it's going to be. And I do that partly because I not necessarily intentionally, but when it comes to, like, how am I going to film this? What's the end video going to look like? Like, what are the things that I'm going to want to get when I get there? And I'll think about it visually beforehand. But I don't think and I'm very, very confident in this, I don't think that I ever confuse that with reality.
Oh, and I think it's not an intentional, it's not an intentional thing like that. It's more, you know, someone can be talking to you and you're off in your head somewhere else thinking about something else.
No, but that's what I'm saying is I'll say, like, you know, I'll be, you know, I might be sitting on a throne or whatever it is, sitting on the computer doing something mindless, and I'll be picturing, you know, something that I know is going to happen. But I don't think that I ever confused, like, that sort of wandering with reality, because I mean, even when we were having the conversation, I started wondering, because there was a young lady that was possibly going to come and join us for a drink, and I was visualizing in a scenario in my head about that.
There you go.
Well, I'm still down. but I knew at that time that that wasn't real.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm missing the words here. It's not that she thought it was real. She knew they were going out for dinner at a Japanese restaurant. She was just in her brain, off in that zone, and because she'd started picturing it, she just thought it was somewhere different. And this is the thing, is the average dyslexic doesn't look bad in the world. Some of them are very, very successful. These challenges are sometimes not even noticeable. Like, I'll give you an example. Here's another example for myself. I play a lot of indoor football, really love it. Now, I was in my head thinking about football, or going through the motions to go to it. I get in the car, I start driving down the driveway, and I'm in my jandals. And in my head, I didn't actually think I'd put my shoes on, but I'd completely forgotten to do them because I was off in my brain thinking about how many goals I was going to score. And I was already thinking about, I just drifted off and just forgot something that you go, oh, that seems so obvious. But, you know, the old me would have beaten myself up and gone, man, that's so stupid. The me who understands about the sex here just laughed and drove back up the driveway, got my shoes, carried on with life. So these aren't big things. Like, I didn't imagine I had my shoes on. I just carried on and just forgot to even do it. Like, I've forgotten to leave the key out for my partner before because in my head, I'd thought about doing it. I'm definitely going to leave my key out or grab my sunglasses or something like that. And I just haven't grabbed them. But in my head, I'd grabbed my sunglasses, hadn't I? So it's more of those little things. It's not...
I wonder if I'm really good at not forgetting shit like that, primarily because I used to do that.
Yeah.
And I just became really good at dealing with it.
Mate, honestly, I was the same. I lost my wallet every week. And then I was like that. I was like, I can't keep doing this. This doesn't make sense. I worked really hard at building certain habits and haven't lost my wallet in 5 years.
That's kind of how I feel. I mean, I'm trying to think back to how bad I used to be, and I honestly can't remember how bad it was. But I mean, certainly going through sunglasses and... things like that, yeah, I mean, totally. But now I'm very, very, very particular about everything has its place, you know, and that's why I don't lose things.
Yeah, that happens all the time, honestly. And this is why it's so hard to pick dyslexics in an adult age unless it's properly diagnosed, because we are so good at solving things. Like, my dad, when he was in school, learnt language through phonetics, which he picked up. He was lucky enough to go into one class, and he goes, oh, that works for me. I'll learn that. And so he went through school, did okay, not great, but well enough that they didn't have any clue he was dyslexic, carried on, he worked in some big jobs, and, you know, it's only going back over it later in life where he used to hide away and love video games. He'd hyper-focus on video games, and he would just be happy with 3 hours of just focus on that. You know, there's a bunch of stuff like that, which was really obvious later in life, especially the way he treated, you know, he could go off at the family, he could go back, you know, he'd have great days and bad days. And there's so much more to it than reading and writing.
And I think that's maybe something that we could look into further another time. And certainly for Stephen's podcast, we'll link a couple below as well. If you're watching this on the website, but and then link to your website and podcast and stuff like that, because it's been particularly the conversations we've had over the last few days, it's super interesting.